Yep. Your mom had surgery? Okay. It went well? Yeah. Okay, good, good. Great answer to prayer. Amen. That's great. Thank you for letting us know. Yeah, yeah, great. Of course, always be praying for yourselves and the pulpit committee. God always is teaching us, isn't he? He's always teaching us, if we'll let him. Anybody else? All right. Again, pray for us as we travel for Brenda speaking and traveling. It's a reminder. We know God's in control, but here at Seminary at age six, we don't know. We don't know what the Lord has in store for his glory. We just take day by day and make sure we are obedient that way so we can see him. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. What I like to do these next few weeks on Sunday evening is go through the blessings of God we have in Christ. You, of course, this is a stipulation here. The stipulation is that in Christ, that means you have to know Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. You have to have repented from your sins and asked Jesus to save you, and so that you are in Christ. And everything that is in Christ, you have all of Christ. That's why we can go through, face many things, but what we'd like to do is we're going to just take Scripture. We're going to take Scripture and verses sort of thematic. We're going to at first exposit verse 3 here, but then we're going to thematically take these blessings through Scripture. And it'll be very plain to you. We'll be taking just the, we're trying to make it in 3 weeks. We're going to take the first group tonight, second group, and you'll see how I'm going to be grouping them in just a moment. What we want to do is realize, first of all, that as we are in Christ, all of this that we're going to be going through, and there's going to be a lot we're going to be going through, because the Bible says a lot about what we are in Christ. We just don't grab it because we forget about it, and it's hard to remember everything. But this is what God tells us, that when you're in Christ, these are the blessings of God that you have in Christ. Now we're going to look at this word blessing. This morning we looked at the word blessing. We're going to look at that word again as we look at this verse, and we'll try to take it up in different things. So as you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, I also have it on the screen for you, so you can see it there. We're going to just take it apart a little bit, just the different words, and we'll then try to put it back together. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Okay, let's look at that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We first of all have to look at that word blessed. We talked a little bit about it this morning. And there's two words, and we can talk about a little more because I had so much I was wanting to cover in the morning. We'll stick on this word blessed a little bit longer this evening. In the original language, in the Bible that we have, the Bible that God's given us, he has given us two words for blessed. There are two words that are translated in our English Bibles, blessed. One of them is, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but the actual Greek word is makarios. All right, makarios is this word blessed. And this word is really a word, it's the word that we find in the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, 13, we see the blessed are the Beatitude. That word means happy as the sense of prosperous. So it would be used in Matthew, for instance, when it talks about the poor in spirit. It'd be this: blessed are the poor in spirit, or spiritually prosperous are the poor in spirit. Favored, happy, oh how very happy, happy, oh how very prosperous the one that is poor in spirit. The second word is what we mentioned this morning, where we get our word eulogy. Here, it's eulogetos, which is a word that is a compound word between lego and so the word lego, it means to speak, and the word eu means good. So when you think of eulogy, eulogetos, eu is means good, and logos means speak. Logetos, where we get the word logos, but we're speaking. And so this, where we get our word transliterated, eulogize. And we talked a little bit about that this morning, about what that word eulogizes. So it's to speak well of, putting it together. Speak of, well of, speak good of, in other words. So this word eulogy is speak good of. Now we come to those two, and now we got to find out which one of these is used in our passage here. As we look at it, we've got to realize that this word is used exclusively of God in the New Testament. And here, blessed be the God of Father, Lord Jesus Christ, is the word where we get eulogy. It's not Makarios. It's eulogy, being well spoken of. So it would be this type of, maybe we could translate it. Well, let me just give you one Greek scholar by the name of Kenneth Wiest, very famous, and has got many different works out on the original language, on the Greek language. He's a Greek scholar. He translated it this way. Let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be well spoken of, be eulogized. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be well spoken of. Okay, let our Father, God the Father, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be well spoken of. It further on goes, and it has the idea of extol, with the idea of prospering goodness also, because it says speak good of, speak well of. So there would be a prosperous in that also. And so consistent with this would be prosperity of believers, consistent with his perfection and praiseworthiness. The one who is to be supremely blessed by his goodness is himself the supreme blesser who bestows goodness to us. It is he who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now it says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay, he's blessed us with the spiritual goodness. In other words, a very familiar verse that you might have to memory is James 1:17, where it says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And then in Romans 8:28, Paul assures us that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? That we walk in the image of God. And so God blesses us because he is the source of all blessing. Because he is blessed. He's the source of all blessing. He's the source of every good thing. Goodness can only come from God because, as one commentary said, because there's no source of goodness outside of God. Did you know anything that good comes, nothing can come outside of God. Nothing. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there are no variables in the shadow of goodness. So any good thing that happens to you is God's blessing on you. Any bad thing that you do, you get the credit. That's just it. That's the truth. So let's look at it this way. Okay, we come across and it says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Notice that's what? It's a past tense, isn't it? He hath blessed us, the one who blessed. So we realize that when we bless God, we praise him. We speak well of him. When he blesses us, it's not that he speaks us good, but he does us good. Our blessing is in word, his is in deed. Kenneth Wheat goes on and says, in word and thought, we bless God because in deed and positive effect, he blesses, from the expositor's commentary. You see, Christians possess every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because you're in Christ. So as we look at that, we must realize that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Here, we'll get this together in a second, but I'm trying to just break each word with you so that you understand where these blessings are coming, what he's actually doing, and what we have the richest. All these things are God's goodness that he gives to us, and we should be jumping up and down and saying, howdy, because of the goodness that he has. That we realize that blessed be God, eulogize God. And he's the one that hath blessed us, eulogized us with all spiritual blessings. He has. He's called us. In fact, in verse 4, you see that calling. But you see that we hear, with what are believers blessed? Well, we're blessed with the spiritual blessings. Where does those blessings come from? Who? The spiritual one, the perfect one, God. So every spiritual blessing refers to every spiritual enrichment needed for our spiritual life. Since these benefits have already been bestowed on believers, they should not ask for them. Okay, we have these blessings already. So you don't need to ask for them. You need to pray for these blessings. You need to appropriate them by faith. Example. Simple example. We have these blessings. God says it right here. He's blessed us with these spiritual blessings. We have them. We don't need to pray for them. We need to appropriate them by faith. Example that we would use would be Joshua in the Old Testament was not to ask God for land since God had already promised to him in Joshua 1, 3 through 4. He was to enter into the enjoyment of that provision. There's the land. He already promised it. What is he supposed to do? Obey him and conquer the lands and have the enjoyment of that which has already been given to him. He didn't have to build buildings. All he had to do is go obey God and conquer him. God gives him the land, and there it is. That's pretty cool. And so we realize then that in Ephesians 1:3, it tells us much about God's blessing on believers. When does he bless us? Look at it. When does he bless us? Who hath blessed us, so that would be what? Eternity past. He's blessed us. With what? With spiritual blessings. Where? Heavenly realms, heavenly places. How? In Christ. May I say that again to make it simple for you? When? Eternity past, he's already done it. With what? The spiritual blessings. Where? Heavenly realms. And how? In Christ. Paul continued his discussion. In fact, in chapter 1, we see the three persons of the Spirit, the selection of the Father in verses 4 through 6, the sacrifice, as one commentary said, the sacrifice of the Son in verses 7 through 12, and then the seal of the Holy Spirit in verses 13 through 14. So we see then that Paul, that praising and thanksgiving are ever to be the great characteristics of the Christian life. In other words, if there's no praise in the Christian life, it is because we're ignorant of the truth. Think of that. If you're not praising God for what's going on in your life, you're ignorant of the truth. You know, in other words, you know, how's your day going? Are you enjoying life? If you're ignorant of the praises, of the joys that God has given you, even though they might not be too well, you're ignorant of the truth. By the way, that doesn't mean we're jumping up and down everything. You know, my father, when he passed away, I didn't jump up and down and run up the hospital halls. Yeah, my dad's dead. No. But I realized the wonderful spiritual truth that I can rejoice in the truth of the promise that because he's a child of God, he's with my heavenly Savior right now. Now that's rejoicing in the truth. That's a spiritual blessing that he's given to us. So look at Ephesians 5:20 there that I have on the screen. So giving thanks always and for what? Just a few things that you think are good. No, all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be in Christ. So we are thanking God for all things unto God in Christ. And so what does that tell us? Well, look what it says. In other words, the blessings of God breed a confident gratitude in Christ. If you're not grateful of all that you're in Christ, you're ignorant of the truth. So what we need to do is rejoice in the truth. And see, I can be confident in Christ, manifested by my thankfulness to him, that as I continue to walk in the truth, that my identity and sense of worth will come from who Christ is, who I am in Christ, as I renew your mind with the truth and let your heart rejoice in the truth. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to take just three different Sunday evenings. We're going to go through a few of them tonight. And all of these are, I'm taking the truths from a book by Neil Anderson. And I'm taking these truths, and so we'll be looking at them just one by one, talking a little bit about them. Now, there's going to be a lot of truths here. In fact, there are going to be so many truths that as we go through them, you're going to say, how am I supposed to remember all that? Well, ask God. There'll be some that you'll be able to remember. You'll jot down. So jot them down. But I'd like you to jot them down now, because when you jot them down, if you have a pen and paper, you get it. You listen. But I will tell you, as your pastor and wanting to make sure you keep it, at the end of this series, I'll give you a handout so that you'll see it and have it. So as we look at it, what we need to do is that we need to realize that I can rejoice in the truth. And why can I rejoice in the truth? Well, we just got done looking at it, didn't we? Because blessed is God. He's to be eulogized, who hath blessed us in past with all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In fact, in the context of Ephesians then, it down through verse 18, all of from Ephesians 3 there through 18 or 14, I think it's 18, it's all one sentence in the original language. And there's approximately, or maybe it's through 14, whatever. But what we find is there's about 18 blessings that God gives in those verses. We're going to go probably more than 18. We're not going to take this. We're going to just take the different truths from Scripture. And so what we're going to do is, so we're not ignorant of truth, I'm going to give you the truth that we are in Christ. Everything I'm giving you is straight from Scripture. And this is the truth that we can be thankful to God about, so that we're not ignorant of, and we can then what? Rejoice in this truth. Now, this is why we can rejoice in it. Number one, in Christ, I'm not divinely set. That's what we're going to look at tonight. I can rejoice in the truth, not be ignorant, because in Christ, I'm divinely set. That means God has set me this way. I'm divinely set in these things because I'm in Christ. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Now, when we get back from our little vacation there, and Brenda's speaking there, and the conference that I'm going to be at, the following Sunday night, we're going to look in Christ. I'm totally secure. There's the truth. I am secure in Christ, and we're going to have verses and truths that we'll have that we'll rest on, that I can rejoice in the truth that in Christ, I'm secure in Christ. I don't have to have those insecurities. When I start feeling those insecurities, of which we all have, I can realize, well, I don't need that because I'm secure in Christ. And then thirdly, I rejoice in the truth because in Christ, I am deeply significant. I am deeply significant. I'm somebody because I'm in Christ. And we'll look at that the third week. So this evening, first of all, as we look at it, we can rejoice in the truth because we're in Christ and we are divinely set. Number one, John chapter 1, verse 12. You know, I was thinking this when I was standing there looking at this and even reviewing tonight, this afternoon, I should say. I was thinking this was one of the first verses that I memorized as a child in the home I was at. In fact, I remember memorizing this one before John 3:16. But as many as received him, what's that saying? Anybody that received Jesus Christ, anybody that by grace are ye saved through faith, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You repent of your sin and put your complete faith in Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the sons of God. Who gives the authority? In other words, who saves? God saves. And in many other translations, this word sons of God is translated children. Might in our day to day, we might understand children a little more than sons, as far as belonging and other aspects of it. But as many as received him, received Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become children of his, of the sons of God. But it's only to those that believe on his name, that he is the Son of God. He is the only Son of God. There's only one, the only begotten Son of God. And that he came for the purpose to seek and to save that which was lost, and to pay the price and receive the wrath of God because of sin in the world, and receive the very wrath of God because God hates sin, but only a perfect sacrifice could receive that. And so he came, and what we have to do to become a child of God is we have to believe in his name. And there's a lot that comes with that. We cannot deny who he is. We cannot practice the things that don't, we might do some of the things that don't shape up to his name, line up to his name, but we won't practice those things. And so, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what is it? In Christ I'm divinely set. Why? What's the truth here? What's the rejoiced truth? Because he's divinely set. God's the one that has set me as his child. So I'm God's child. I am God's child. Tonight, you know Jesus as your Savior. You can rejoice in the truth. You can go out those doors. You can say right now, I'm God's child. The one that created this universe. I'm his child. That means I'm kept under his wings. And nothing's going to happen to me that he doesn't allow for my good. Even though it might be things that rats. But they're really not rats. It's good for your growth. And sometimes we won't see that this side of heaven. Who's one that's a perfect example of that? Job. A lot of things happened to Job for his growth and for the truth and the glory of God. And he didn't know why all these things happened. And then he was richly blessed. God richly blessed him because of his faithfulness. But he didn't know that until he went to glory. He didn't know any of that. He didn't know what was going on. But he was God's child. So no matter what happens, you can rest secure in that. Well, that doesn't help me now. Oh, yes, it does. Number two, we see Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, here's the truth. We have peace with God. There's that wrath I was talking about. We have peace with God. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through the perfect sacrifice that received all that wrath. So I don't have to. Now, the Bible says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned because I didn't receive the wrath. I'll never receive that wrath. Before I was saved, I was going to receive that wrath if I never received him. I will receive that wrath someday at that final judgment. But now, as a lad in 1962, I put my faith and trust in him. I no longer receive that wrath. Jesus took all of that for me. And you know what's sad? He took all of that wrath for so many, for the whole world, for God so loved the world, but yet it's only works for those that receive him and are his child. And so what he does, he declares us righteous by faith. He declares us righteous because of his perfect sacrifice. And by, notice it says, by faith, by you putting your faith and trust in Jesus and who he is, what he said and what he does, and asking God to forgive us of that sin that he so died for us and took the place for, he then declares us righteous, because only righteousness can go to glory. Think of that. He declares us righteous so we can get to glory. He took our what? Place. He exchanged it with us. And so in Christ, I'm divinely set. Why? Because I'm a child of God. And also, I've been justified. I've been declared righteous. In 1962, not only was I part of that family of God, and God's, but he's the one that did it. He declared me righteous. And since he declared me righteous, nothing else can happen. So in Christ, I'm divinely set. Because I'm a child of God, I've been justified. Number three for this evening, John 15:13-15. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, we know Jesus laid his life down for us. And look at what he says now. He laid his life down for us, and he's talking to those that have put their faith and received him. He says, you are my friends. He says, if, or in view of the fact that you do whatever I command you. In other words, when you put your faith in Christ, guess the Holy Spirit lives within you, and guess what you're going to want to do? You're going to obey him. That doesn't mean you always do, but when you don't, there'll be a conviction there to say, God, I need to get that right. There might be something that you might be even ignorant about, and God shows it to you, and you say, okay, well, I need to do that then, because the Spirit of God teaches you. Because he says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Everything that I know, you know. And so I can rejoice in that truth. I'm divinely set because I'm Christ's friends. I am Christ's friend. How many of you like to be certain people's friends? Sometimes we have so many people that I'm a good friend with that person. Have you ever thrown names around before? That you're friends and you know certain people? I confess, I have. So, divinely, I'm going to say, I'm Christ's friend. And you know what the blessing of that is? I'm no more Christ's friend than you are that know Jesus. I'm not less of a friend. I'm not a better friend. I'm just his friend, just as you are. And there's that relationship that he wants us to have closer to him. Can we get closer to him? Yes. He's still our friend, though. And so I'm set, divinely set, because I'm Christ's friend. And people, you know what you have to think about me? You got to think about me this. Boy, watch it. He's Christ's friend. You know what I need to think about you? Oh, you're Christ's friend. You're special. And we can rejoice in that truth. You're Christ's friend. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Here's another truth that I can rejoice in. Because notice all these are divinely set. God's call, God's work. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is saved is one spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ saves that person. So I am united with the Lord and I'm one spirit with him. I am in just as Jesus and God are one. Remember John 17, the high priestly prayer? And he says, oh Lord, as you and I are one, so are these. And he tells us that as we are in the Lord, we're united with the Lord, and we're one spirit with him. So when we have a different spirit of Christ, there'll be a conviction there that I need to get that right, because I know my position is that I'm united with the Lord and I'm one spirit with him. I have the right attitude. I have the same attitude as Jesus Christ does. So I'm divinely set because I'm united with the Lord and I am one spirit with him. Everything he is, I am. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You know where we are here. You have the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have the truth. You can rejoice in that truth because you are in Christ and divinely set. Now that you are, all of these, by the way, all of these are truths, not part of them. Well, I'm this sometimes, I'm this other time. No. Did you know we get all of this? This is why it's so vast, it's so mind-boggling. Everything that I've told you this evening, everything we said, we're all of that. And now he tells us we're the body of Christ. The body, can a body be separated from the body? You know, we have been, oh, I might have this out-of-body experience. Sorry. It talks about we are the body of Christ and we're members in particular. So I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm a member of Christ's body. I'm united with the Lord in one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? We know that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and that we have of God. So since we have it of God, we're not our own. We're God's. Because we're bought with a price. What's that price? The cross. And the cross and the death could not hold him because he knew no sin. For the wages of sin is death. He didn't sin. Death couldn't hold him. And he rose from the dead so that since we're his body, since we're as in him, I'll be raised with him. And then as we are here on this earth, we realize we are bought with a price. So this is what we need to do. Glorify God in our bodies. Your spirit and body can't be separated that way. Did you know where your mind goes, your body goes? Your mind can't go over here and your body over here. I just put my left hand this way. And as far as my mind still has its faculties, I'm trying to put my hand over here. I'm thinking about it and it's doing it. We realize we're bothered, and so we glorify God. And so remember what the glory of God is? God's unique what? Excellence. So then, to glorify God would be that we need to exhibit the unique essence of God. And since we're bought with Christ, everything we do must exhibit the unique essence of Christ. In other words, we need to act like him. And if we don't, we fall short of that, and that's sin. But it says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which we just learned are one. So you glorify God in your spirit, your attitude. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. You glorify God in your body and in your attitude, in your spirit. Why do you do that? Because you decided to receive Jesus as your Savior. He called you, you're God's. So here's the God's doing, and I can rejoice in the truth. In the truth, because in Christ I'm divinely set. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. Tonight I'm standing here before you. I believe all my heart, because of Scripture, because of truth, not because of feeling, I belong to God tonight. So I need to make sure as he directs my steps, that they're the steps that he directs, and not my sinful nature. because in Christ I'm divinely set. I'm bought with a price, the precious blood. He came because of our sins. He didn't come because we didn't sin. He came because of our sins. And so we're bought with a price, and we belong to God. Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Do you know what the word saints means? You know what the word saint is? Of course, you think of a saint, someone in heaven, of course, saints. But you know what the word saint, it can be translated others, but this word saint is? It means holy. It means holy. So what are we? I'm a saint, a holy one. You never thought you were a saint, did you? Boy, that person, have you heard that? Boy, that person's no saint. Did you know you're in Christ? Divinely set. You're a holy one. You're his saint. You're a saint. You're Saint Bill. Think of that. And you're Saintess Doris. No, it's Saint Doris. And we can go everyone's name there, can't we? I could go and get all your names. You're a holy one in his eyes. That you're divinely set. And you're a saint. So what I say, act like it. You know, when our children were being raised, one of the things, well, let me put it, when I was being raised, this is where my children would have gotten it. Because of my father, he always told me, he says, first of all, when you go out there in the world, when you're out there, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do, you represent him. And he said, secondly, you represent me in my ministry. He was a preacher. And I could have gotten him out of the ministry by what I did, how I lived. But he was my hero. I loved him to pieces. And I'm part of that family, that body, that member. And as you think of the family, you're in that family, that holy one. You're part of that. You are a saint. So I want to act as that family, a saint in the love family. And so we realize that God divinely set us as a saint, a holy one. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated in us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to whose good pleasure? God's good pleasure, his will. So what am I? I'm an adopted as God's child. Did you know that when I was born, I wasn't part of that family? This isn't a universal salvation. I was not part of God's family. For all have sinned to come short of the glory, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned. I was born a sinner. No one had to tell me and teach me to lie. No one had to teach me to have a rotten attitude. No one had to teach me to be disrespectful. I'm just a rotten sinner. But then God saved me. He took me out of that family and put me in another family, undeserved. I was undeserved. I'll never forget when I was a youth pastor. We're having testimonies of our teenagers, and junior hires. One of the teenagers went and gave her testimony. I didn't get her salvation testimony, but understood what adoption meant. It was saying, God worked in my life, but what he did for me is special than any of you. I was born in another family, but God put me in this Christian family. A mom and dad that love me to pieces, that do everything for me, would die for me. Would die for me. And I'm privileged because I'm adopted. I know what it means to be adopted. And as a believer in Christ, you're adopted out of that family. You're into his family with nothing that you did deserves it. It wasn't because of your looks. It wasn't because of how good all the good things you did. He put you in that family, just as he put my children in my family. They're not adopted. And it's the same thing with all the rights that they get. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, through who? Christ. Through God, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Have you ever felt just mean in the morning, just feel like not, I don't want to talk to that person, even pray. Or you get to the bank and says, boy, I would love to talk to so-and-so about this. Have you ever had that? Or, boy, you hear something, different things, or there's, in your job, boy, I would love to go up there and I'd like to talk to the CEO about this. I would love that. Well, here, it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. When you know Jesus as your Savior, you have direct access to God through the Spirit of God that lives within you. While I'm speaking to you, I could be praying, talking to him. I have a direct access to him. I go past him. He's high above the heavens, high and past the clouds, high the heavens, Hebrews 4 tells us. And you know, when I go to prayer, I'm going right past all that into the throne room, going past the Holy of Holies, going past the outer place, the holy place. I go right into the Holy of Holies. I go right to access because the curtain's been ripped. And I have direct access to God. I can go directly to God about anything and everything. And because I can do that, I'm his child. He knows before I ask. Isn't that amazing? I'm in direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Then in Colossians 1:14, the Bible tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He's redeemed us. He's brought us back. He's redeemed us. And it's been through his blood. Why does it have to be his blood? Because the Bible tells us that life is in the blood. And then it says, even the forgiveness of sins. Did you know he'll always forgive you? Have you ever been at where you've sinned and you ask God to forgive you and you go back and ask him to forgive you for the same thing, even though you just asked him to forgive you? Why? Do you not believe what God said? He said, I'll forgive you. So you don't need to ask him again for the same thing. You might have to ask him, Lord, forgive me for being so, I keep going back and forgiving when I know that I don't need to. But did you know he forgives you? And so I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God's forgiven you no matter what you've done. No matter what you have done. Listen to me. Whatever, God's forgiven you. When you come before him, because he paid the price for that in his blood, and he's redeemed you, and he's forgiven you. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. I've been redeemed, forgiven of all my sins. And then lastly, for this evening, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, all the heavenlies, all the wickedness, all the angels, all everything. He is the head of all of it. And because he's the head of all of that, I'm complete in him. I can rejoice in the truth in Christ because I'm divinely set, because I'm complete in Christ. There's nothing more that needs to be done. He finished it at the cross. Remember what he said on the cross? He said, tetelestai. It is what? It's done. It's finished. It's conquered. That word tetelestai, it's the idea of them coming through and soldiers coming through after a war, and winning the war, and they're on their horses riding through, and they're yelling, Tetelestai. It's finished. It's won. Death has been conquered. O grave, where's thy sting? I'm complete in Christ. So, in Christ, I'm divinely set. Because God says, I'm God's child. Because God said, I'm Christ's friend. Because God said, I've been justified. Because God said, I'm united with the Lord and one spirit with him. Because God said, I've been bought with a price, so I belong to God. Because God said, I'm a member of Christ's body. Because God said, I'm a saint, a holy one. Because God said, I've been adopted as God's child. Because God said, I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Because God said, I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Because God said, I am complete in him. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and has blessed us with those spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. So I can rejoice in the truth, because in Christ, I'm divinely set. Now, if you can't leave encouraged here tonight, your encourager needs encouraging. Something needs to be smacked around. Because what a blessing we have in Christ. And you are divinely set in that, because God said it. And you know the only thing? God said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. I'm going to take something out of there. Just because I believe it doesn't settle it. God said it, that settles it. And God says, because he's divinely done it, I can rejoice in that truth tonight. No matter what trials, tribulations come, I can rejoice in that truth. I can put my mindset on him, our dear Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for giving us such encouragement tonight, and so much truth in your word, and saving us so that as we are in you, we get everything, we get all this, that you've divinely set me, you've said, and we can rejoice in the truth because of what you've said and what you've done. Thank you, Lord. Help us be encouraged this week as we might be a portrait of the believer that is in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You have a great, great week, and we'll see you. I won't be here next Sunday, but we'll see you the next Wednesday here. Lord bless you.